This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest David O. Russell wrote and directed the movie Three Kings. It opened in the fall and has been re-released for the holidays. The Boston Film Critics Association gave Three Kings awards for Best Picture and Best Director. The film was named one of the 10 best of the year in Time magazine. David O. Russell's earlier films are Spanking the Monkey and Flirting with Disaster. Flirting with Disaster will be shown Sunday night on ABC. Three Kings takes place in Iraq at the end of the Gulf War. Four army men, played by George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, and Spike Jones, decide to exploit the war's end and try to get rich by stealing Kuwaiti gold bullion from the Iraqi army, which stole it from the Kuwaitis. But in the process of traveling through Iraq searching for the gold, they find a new mission, helping the Iraqi rebels who are being imprisoned, tortured, and shot by Saddam Hussein's army. In this scene, the Americans have set off to steal the bullion and are desperate for transportation. They try to convince Iraqi rebels to lend them some cars.
Listen, we use these cars to fight Saddam's soldiers.
So funny.
Cannot take.
What you mean, cannot take? We kick Saddam's ass, we definitely take.
We are the United States Army.
You are three guys with a bunch of civilians and no Humvee.
Need money. Have no money to eat, to live.
American army is huge. It has planes and tanks, and we have nothing.
Listen to me. We will rise up together. Tell him. Rise up. Look at us. Many races. Many nations. Working together.
Not Melsu.
Tell him, Chief.
Yes, we're united.
United. George Bush. George Bush wants you.
You. Stand up for yourself.
George Bush, yahtajko.
George Bush wants you.
You wants you. Yes.
David O. Russell, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
When you started off to make Three Kings, what interested you in making a movie set at the end of the Gulf War? Had you paid a lot of attention to the Gulf War when it was actually happening?
I paid kind of marginal attention to it. I was, when the bomb started going, I was working as a ticket taker at the Sundance Film Festival with a couple of friends of mine, and we just watched it with this, the whole surreal thing happening on television. But I think what drew me to the topic as a filmmaker was the fact that I didn't feel it had really been exposed or really delved into in film. You know, it seemed very ripe with all sorts of bizarre and revealing material.
Do you see the movie as, in a way, combining two genres, the heist film and the war film?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the heist idea was an idea that was in a pre-existing script that Warner Brothers showed me by a writer named John Ridley that was purely a heist movie. And I thought, at the time, it struck me as a great way into all the strangenesses that attend the end of the war. And it is the end of the war that interested me. The war itself was just, it was a whole series of bombings from computer planes, you know. The end of the war is that odd gray zone where you really, you finally see what's happened and people are dealing with their feelings about it. And there's a sort of chaos where anything can happen. And in that, so I kind of put the heist in that period to then kind of evaluate, well, what had happened here and what did it mean and what did it feel like to those who had participated? Because I felt like the whole thing had sort of been whitewashed a little bit. You know, we had our big celebration, we had the yellow ribbons, and that was that, you know. And I think everybody had a second thought about it. I think most people knew that there was more to it than that.
What are some of the things about the Gulf War that you wanted to capture or comment on in Three Kings?
I mean, most soldiers over there, when you look at this war, it's really sort of, it's sort of weird. I mean, most soldiers watched it on TV the way we did. You know, the pilots and some of the soldiers actually encountered the Iraqis, the tank divisions, of course. But most of the infantry was sitting there for 3 months. And it was sort of bizarre for them to be sitting there watching it on TV, listening to it on the radio, living in constant fear and tension of a gas attack, and never really having that experience. So soldiers did take off for adventures when the war was over to see what Iraq was really like. and or to steal things or to find souvenirs to take home. What they found in that environment was an environment littered with consumer goods that had been pilfered from Kuwait by Saddam's retreating army. So you had everything from blue jeans to CDs to stereos to luxury cars throughout the desert taken by Saddam's army, which Americans would find along with charred bodies from all the bombings, along with an insurrection. You know, there was a democratic insurrection going on right after the war that we didn't pay much attention to, in which Iraqis were trying to overthrow Saddam. So the war was far from over. So all of that, I thought, was really rich material for some characters to go through, both fun at times and funny and also, you know, tragic at times.
Now, you did a lot of the shooting in the desert. How did you decide what desert to shoot in?
Well, Iraq looks like a billiard table, and it doesn't look like it. It's not the Lawrence of Arabia desert, you know. We worked very hard to give the film a very distinctive physical look, and I think it feels like you're in a different place. Iraq is billiard table flat, and with a kind of a blindingly white sand, and that's hard to find in the continental United States because with the New Mexico salt flats or other places, you have huge mountain ranges right there. And that isn't the case in Iraq. So we basically found a huge dried lake bed in northern Mexico, outside Mexicali. And we did a lot of shooting there, as well as on an abandoned copper mine in southern Arizona, which was just completely flat. Now, the other thing, you know, we tried to do visually is that this was the first war environment that had color photographs in the newspapers. And those color photographs took on a saturated, slightly odd feeling to them. So we shot the film on ektachrome, which is a regular camera stock, not a motion picture stock. And that gives, that gave the whole film a different look, like those saturated USA Today color photographs.
Did it also cause problems since it's not made to be used for a motion picture camera but for still photographs?
Yeah, we had to go through a little bit of a struggle to get it used because Technicolor said they would not insure the negative because they had never processed this much ektachrome for a feature. And so Warner Brothers turned to us and said, the lab's not going to insure the negative. We can't use this stock. And we went finally through two other labs till we found one that would ensure the negative, as well as knew how to process it and give us dailies that looked usable.
Were you worried at all that, maybe you should back it up on regular color film just in case?
Yeah, we were. The first couple of weeks, it looked like we might have to reshoot a lot of things, and I was worried. But then we found a timer, that's the guy who does the color processing, who figured out how to pull details out of the negative so we didn't have to reshoot.
I think the quality of the natural light is probably really different in the desert because the sun is so intense. So I'm wondering what it was like to shoot in that kind of light.
It's beautiful. I mean, the drag is that you have to get up so early because in the winter you only have from 6:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon to shoot. But it's a beautiful light. And at the end of the day, something that's known as magic hour in the movie world, because the light is so beautiful when the sun is going down, for us often became known as tragic hour because we were running out of light and we hadn't gotten enough of our shots done. So we would often work frantically during the last half hour of the day to get as many shots off as we could.
If you're just joining us, my guest is David O. Russell. And he directed the movie Three Kings, which has reopened for the holidays. Let's take a short break here, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is screenwriter and director David O. Russell. His movie Three Kings has been re-released for the holidays. It stars George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, and Spike Jonze. In directing George Clooney was still working on ER when you directed him in Three Kings. Was there any confusion between his character in your movie and in his character as Ross on ER, Did he have to like lose that character? Did you have to do anything to shake off any remnants of that character?
Yeah, I think that George was in the middle of completing his run on ER as we were shooting. So it took its toll a couple of ways. One is, I think, he was commuting from the ER set to our set, which I think is hard for any actor. I also think he was in the middle of a big emotional transition in terms of, you know, leaving that show after 5 years. And inhabiting a character there for 5 years. So I think that it's impossible for that not to color one style of acting. You know, I mean, if you talk to any actor from any television show, be it Seinfeld or anything, that had been doing that for 5 years, they're going to bring that with them. And when George and I first met, that was the bargain, that we were going to commit ourselves to shedding as much of that as possible. And that's what a lot of the work was directed towards, and I think he did. I think there's a side to him in this picture that hasn't been seen in his other work.
How did you work with him on shedding the character?
I think mostly you, as with any character in a movie, you establish a shorthand early on as to what the essence of the character is. So, you know, our shorthand for Archie Gates, the character that George was playing in this movie, was his steadiness and a sort of inner quiet that he has. Whereas the character on ER is, I think, moves around a lot and has an inner movement and energy. This character was sort of the opposite, you know, was sort of like a rock inside, and also had a certain emotional heaviness inside of him in this character. So you could just refer to any of those words I just used here at any time during a scene in between takes, and, you know, George would adjust.
So among the things you had to do was blow up a cow and have a truck with how many gallons of milk exploding?
6,000.
Uh-huh. Let's start with the milk.
The milk truck was an idea that came from an actual experience where American bombers had actually mistakenly bombed what they thought was a military target, and it turned out to be trucks carrying milk to the starving Iraqi population, which didn't have much food at the time, which is a common error during a war. I took that and I made it a truck that was blown up on the ground by a rocket launcher by Iraqi soldiers trying to prevent food from being delivered to the people who were rising up. And the way we shot that was we had a big tractor trailer that was filled with 6,000 gallons of milk that they just opened up the floodgates on. And I think the actors didn't exactly know what to expect when it hit them. It actually knocked one of them over, which is in the film. So there's a sea of milk that washes them against a building before a whole bunch of civilians rush in and actually try to scoop some of it up from the ground.
Did you have real milk in the truck?
No, that would have made everything smell really bad.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. Actually, so they used a water with a latex in it that you couldn't really drink, of course. So just to really sell the idea that people were drinking this when they're scooping it up, the extras were amazing. They really looked like they were drinking it. And then we also we put actual milk in a little divot in the dirt, and a dog drank it out of the divot for real. So that made it look pretty real.
Huh. And now a cow blows up. This is one of the more kind of surreal sequences in the movie. Everyone has to be really careful now that no real animals are injured in movies, and there's always a disclaimer to that effect at the end. How did you make that scene?
Well, our disclaimer, as you may have noticed, says that no animals were injured in the making of this film except for the cow. No, that's not
true. Oh, I don't remember reading that.
See, now we're going to get calls from animal activists. You know, we got a bunch of calls from people about the bullet in the body, because we have the sequence. This was an idea-driven movie for me, meaning that, as you already indicated earlier, it wasn't so much about the relationships as it was about all these different ideas and experiences in this environment. And among those ideas were the fact that Americans hadn't looked at how the war really ended or how soldiers felt about it, and the chaotic environment of contemporary war, which hasn't really been looked at, I think, until now. But also, an idea that drove me was to resensitize the notion of violence. That was an idea that motivated me in the making of the movie, meaning that I felt that movies had kind of desensitized violence to the point where a bullet was almost meaningless, and the more the merrier. So I tried very hard to minimize the number of bullets in the film, and you can probably count them on two hands, and slow down the bullets to actually, when there were bullets fired, and there aren't very many in the movie, but when they are fired, they have an amazing impact. And when inside the body, to actually follow the path of a bullet, as George Clooney's character describes what it does if it goes into your gut. But that was done with all prosthesis, as was the cow. The cow was something called, they put like foam pieces of that look like meat in a mortar that shoots them out into the air. And we did actually, the only real part was a real cow's head.
And did you get that from a butcher shop or something?
Yeah, that was the one thing that smelled a little bad after by the end of the morning.
Right. Well, David O. Russell, I want to thank you for being with us. I wish you happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Terry.
David O. Russell wrote and directed Three Kings, which has been re-released for the holidays. His movie Flirting with Disaster will be shown on ABC TV Sunday night. This is Fresh Air.